Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Online pitfalls, they are real and they're waiting for us to help you watch out for them and navigate them. Digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, good morning. What exactly do you mean by online pitfalls?
Morning, Bob. Well, they refer to the various risks and dangers that you can encounter when you're using the internet, and they're pretty wide-ranging. So it can be anything from a privacy invasion and a data breach to scams and misleading information. And now more than ever, staying safe online means being aware of these pitfalls.
All right. Give us an example of one of the common online pitfalls.
Yeah, sure. So here's a timely one. So you're probably familiar right now with all those social media photos. They show a fantasy version of yourself, and they say that they're created using AI. And they're pretty much everywhere right now, especially on Facebook. Now, they seem harmless, but they can actually be quite dangerous. So, for instance, when you upload your photo into one of these AI engines for what they're calling a makeover, you're often giving away your image, your other personal data, and you're not even realizing how it might be used.
So, you know, a lot of people probably don't realize it's dangerous, but remind us why it is.
Yeah, sure. So the photos and the data that you provide, for example, they can be stored and used by the company running the quiz. The information could be sold to third parties, which leads to those privacy violations I just mentioned. Your photos could be used in ways that you didn't consent to. They could be used for training facial recognition systems or appearing in advertisements. And sometimes those quizzes, they collect more information than is necessary, like they collect your location or your contact information.
That does make you think. Okay, what other pitfalls should we be aware of?
Well, another one is phishing scams. And we've talked about phishing scams before, but I don't think we can talk about them enough. Remember, phishing scams are fraudulent attempts to obtain sensitive information, and they come via this vehicle where they pretend to be some trustworthy entity. They often come in the form of emails or messages that look like they're from legitimate sources, like your bank is sending it to you or a well-known company is sending it to you. And when you click on links or you provide personal information in response to these messages, that's where it can lead to identity theft or financial loss.
And people fall for these more often than we think, don't they?
I would say all the time. And I honestly, I know many people who have, and I'm sure I'll know more eventually.
How can people protect themselves from these phishing scams? What's the best way?
Very, very good question. First, always verify the source of any unexpected email or message. Check the sender's email address carefully. Look for signs of authenticity, such as typos or unusual requests. Sometimes you'll see it's coming from a Gmail account, and it's weird. Any mention of a gift card is a red flag. If you're even the slightest bit unsure, contact the company directly. Use a phone number or a website that you know is legitimate. Never click on suspicious links. Never provide personal information in response to an unsolicited request.
Yeah, that idea about calling a phone number, you've talked about that before. If you have a message from a credit card company you're not sure of, get the number of that company, call them directly, and ask them about the email or text message that allegedly is from them. And I'm pretty sure you were the first to ever mention it. Now everybody talks about it.
Well, I mean, I'm happy to set a trend if it helps. I just wish it didn't take people so long to catch on to the benefits of doing everything in our power to make absolutely certain something like this is real. Here's how I think about it, Bob. Let's say you consider yourself an expert in this field, and you feel 99.9% confident that the email you received is real. Why wouldn't you take an extra 5 minutes to make a phone call that could turn that 99.9% into 100%? Because to me, it's worth it, and it'll pay dividends pretty much forever if that little bit of a percent avoids you from falling for something, you know, much more sinister.
You know, I think the emails that you get that are suspicious, it's pretty easy to just check on the return email address. And it, you know, if it's suspect and it doesn't really reflect where it's supposed to be coming from, you know, it's right. It's a fake. I think the text messages that you get may be a little harder to figure out, don't you think?
They're harder to figure out, but I can give you a really great way to think about text messages. The chances of a company reaching out to you by email are slim. The chances of a company reaching out to you by text message is 10,000 times more slim. Why would they reach out to you in that manner about something so serious when they could do it any other way? So for me, if I receive a text message, even if I'm not aware or able to figure out, as you say, about where it's coming from, I'm automatically suspicious because it's coming from a text message.
It's our Tuesday session with social media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and we're talking about online pitfalls. Scott, what else do you have related to privacy?
Yeah, so privacy settings on social media, that's a big one. Many people don't realize that their default settings might make their post and their information visible to a wide audience, including strangers. So it's important to regularly review and update your privacy settings to make sure that only the people you trust can see the information that you're posting.
And since we're talking about privacy, what about online shopping and the pitfalls with that?
Yeah, there's many there, unfortunately. When you're shopping online, you have to ensure that you're using secure websites, which means when you're looking at the URL at the top, make sure it has HTTPS. It needs to have the S after, which stands for secure. There should also be a padlock icon in the address bar. Now, the good news is most of websites right now are secure in that way. But there are still some sites that don't have those things. You need to make sure they do. You also want to make sure that you don't make purchases over public Wi-Fi. Don't go into a Starbucks and start shopping on Amazon. That's not the best thing to do because some of these networks are less secure than your home network. You also want to be cautious of deals that seem too good to be true because they often are, and they can lead to scams or even counterfeit products.
You know, the other day I bought something online, and then as I got to the screen where it asked for credit card information and so forth, and it says you go to our secure site or whatever, but I imagine the word secure doesn't always mean it will be secure, because I'm sure scammers use that, don't they?
That's very, very true. That's an excellent point. Scammers do use that. It's very easy to just type the word secure, which is why when you click on that link and you do exactly what you just said, you look up at the URL and you make sure that that padlock icon is there. If that padlock icon is not there, it means that site is not secure. So you know right there that that is a site you want to stay away from.
I will be looking for that, and it does require some vigilance. Any final tips, Scott, for avoiding these online pitfalls?
I would say just my usual reminders, which honestly, I don't think I can repeat them often enough. So passwords, when it comes to passwords, make sure they're strong. Consider using a password manager to keep track of them. Anytime you can enable two-factor authentication on an account, do so for that added layer of security. And finally, just staying informed matters. Know about the latest online threats and scams. Follow reputable tech news sources. Listen to us. You know, whatever the case may be, just to make sure you stay one step ahead.
Do you have a favorite tech news source, Scott? One that falls in that category of reputable sources?
Honestly, I read the main news sources. I read the New York Times. I read the Washington Post. For me, I just have a very long list of bookmarks and keywords set up. And the keywords notify me when certain things are happening. So, for example, I have a keyword system for data breach. That way, I know that anytime there's a data breach from any company, big or small, I'm aware of it, so I can find out if it has any impact on me or if it's something I should bring to you and say, hey, you know, everybody should know about this.
I was just thinking of this, and I looked at our text line and saw this question. Can't scammers also get a padlock on their websites to indicate security? You say look for that padlock. Can we be sure when we see it that it's legit?
That is a great question. The padlock icon is not something that a scammer can actually go in and manipulate. They would have to actually get access to the code of the web browser to be able to do that. So a padlock is a safe thing to look for and to know it's safe. There's all kinds of ways that spammers can spoof things, but a padlock, unless it's a picture of a padlock, the padlock is always the same. It's the gray little thing, and it's always to the left of the address. As long as that's there, that's okay. That's a different type of thing, and it comes from a different place. It's a great question.
Good to know. All right, let's open up the Genius Bar here, and we are still getting emails and texts about this, Scott. Yesterday, I received 9 texts from political groups. I blocked the call and then seemed to get even more. Is there any way to stop these texts?
I would love to be able to say to you, yes. Unfortunately, I can't. And the reason why you got 9 is because people know that these things are going to be blocked. And because they know that, they send these messages from a seemingly unlimited number of phone numbers. I know it's horrible and it's really, really annoying. So you block one, then the next one pops up. Unfortunately, in this day and age, there is no real answer other than to manually block each one. If you report it to the phone company by clicking report junk or whatever the button is on your phone, you might prevent the phone company from letting that phone call through. Not always that way. So the best thing to do, unfortunately, is what you're doing now. Block each one or add it to the do not disturb number. And yeah, unfortunately, this is the time of year for that.
It is. Here's one more for you, Scott. When I get an unwanted email, I always check for the real source of it. Lately, my email address is being used as that source, so I can't block them. Would you please explain how to handle these aside from just deleting them, if there's anything I can do? Thank you. Love your segments on WGN.
Well, this is a really good question and not one that I often encounter, but here's what I'll tell you. When you see your address as the return address, it's not really your return address. And I know that that is incredibly confusing, but it's not. It's a spoof of the best kind, where a spammer is doing exactly what they're trying to do. They're trying to make you think it's from you. It's not. It's literally the same thing as if you were to take an envelope and drop it in the mail and put someone else's return address on it, your own or someone else's, and fool them. It's the same thing. So it's not really, and you can technically block them. The only way an email can actually be from you is if someone actually got access to your email account and logged in. You could find that out by looking in your sent folder and make sure that email is not in your sent folder. That would indicate that there's access to your account. 99 times out of 100, that is just a fake thing. They do the same thing on text messages where they make it look like it's from your number and it's not. So it's not actually from you. There are ways to uncover in the code where it's actually from, but pretty much rest assured that if you see something like that and you hit block, you're not actually blocking yourself.
Wow. Thank you, Scott Kleinberg, if this is indeed Scott Kleinberg. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care.
Take care, Bob.